All right. This is part two of a message I started last week, and it may seem kind of strange, but, you know, we wanted to put the focus on Christ because, you know, we're coming up to this time of year where the world kind of celebrates Christmas, even though they may not fully understand what that means. And then I suppose it's kind of odd to preach a message that says without Christ because, you know, we want to put our focus on Christ. But the real fact is that we need to understand what it means to really have Christ and what it means to not have Christ. And there's a tremendous difference in those situations. So when we were talking last week, we were talking about a precept that Jesus alluded to here. I shouldn't say alluded to, made very clear in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, where he's dealing with the vines and the branches, and he's speaking about how he's the vine and we are the branches. He wanted us to understand that we receive our strength, our nutrients, our abilities all through him as the vine. So if the vine didn't provide for the branches would just wither and die. And our text verses were in chapter 15, verses 4 to 6. So we'll just read those again before we get started here. So John chapter 15, verses 4 to 6. The Lord says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Now, you know, when we talked last time, we were dealing primarily with verses 4 and 5. You know, we need to abide in the branch, and the Lord says, I'm sorry, we need to abide in the vine, and the Lord says that if we abide in him, he abides in us. And because of that, this was it was intended to be a very uplifting kind of a message because that meant that, you know, if you say that without me you can do nothing, then that means that with him we can do all things, right? I mean, although it sounds negative when you read this, if you don't abide in me, you're going to be cast forth, you know, it's not really intended to be that. It's kind of like one of those things where, you know, I guess it gives us a little kick in the pants. I don't know a better way to describe it. You know, if you want to be successful in the Lord, you want to be able to please him and do the things that are right in his eyes, you have to abide in Christ. And if you don't, then you can do nothing that brings him the glory that he deserves, to bring him the honor that he deserves. So, you know, I don't want to relive last week because, you know, we talked about lots of things that man has accomplished. But, you know, the things in reality, if you study history and you look at the things that man has accomplished, the great foundations of our understanding from men like Newton and, you know, the laws of physics and all the things that we understand from the structure of the cell and stuff, they were all founded by men of God who then brought that to light so that other people would be able to then build upon that foundation. Now, a lot of people who were not Christians built on that foundation for things, but you see, what we end up with is we have some things that honor God and some things that do not honor God. But the foundation was always from God to begin with. And, you know, a lot of the world has forgotten that. So what we want to do is we want to put our focus back on the Lord. So with this message, we want to deal with the fact that we don't want to be in that group that is without him. We don't want to be in that group that is the branch that is no longer connected to the vine. So, you know, when he talks about how the branch that is not abiding in the vine withereth, and it is cast forth into the fire. See, we read these things, and we have to, like all scripture, in order to fully understand, you have to understand who he's talking to. And when the Lord is making these statements, he's speaking to the disciples. He's speaking to the apostles, and he's speaking to people that have been following him. We talk about Christians being Christ followers, and these people have followed him. But, you know, I guess let me put it this way. The last time we talked about the fact that we have a hope. We have an objective of hope. That was really the title of the first precept that came out of this. Today, we're talking about something that I label true or false. So, you know, when we look at what it is that we believe, what do we believe and why do we believe it? Well, the fact is that if you believe this book to be true, not part of the book, not some of the book, not you know, the New Testament only, the whole book has to be true. If it is, then our foundation is this book and what it contains and tells us. If we don't believe this, then there's no reason to even be in church today. This is the whole book here points to Jesus Christ and tells us who he is, the reason why he came. We can do nothing without him. And we have to understand that. So when I say true or false here, we're talking about, you know, do you believe this book? And it's a fundamental question. It's foundational to our faith. And if we don't believe it, we're the vine that is, or we're the branch that is no longer connected to the vine, and ultimately we will wither, we will die, we will be useless. So in verse 6 that, you know, we're going to be focusing on for the most part today, he says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, it sounds terrible because I just got done saying he's talking to people here that are disciples. They are followers of Christ. So how can he be talking to them and say that, you know, if you're a branch that does not abide in the vine, that you're going to be cast forth and burned in the fire? But it leads people to believe that you can lose your salvation, that you're going to end up going into the lake of fire at the day of judgment. But that's not what he's talking about here. This is the whole concept that we're trying to focus on. Once we are in the body of Christ, once we are adopted into the family of God, there is no unadoption. There is no being cast out of the body of Christ. It's like cutting off an arm. You know, Christ doesn't say, oh, I want you to be my arm, and then, oh, now I'm really upset with you and I'm going to throw that arm away. That's not how it goes with Christ. If you have a sincere heart for God and you trusted him as Savior and you believed that you were a sinner who could not get to heaven on your own merits, that you could not work your way there, and you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he is the only way, then you are saved and forever saved. But see, the problem we have today is there are many, 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 many who claim to be Christians in the world. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. And you look around this country, and I'm only talking about the United States right now. You look around this country and you say, holy cow, this country is, it's like a cesspool. The, you know, 5 years ago, I would never have believed that we would be where we are right now. The acceleration of evil and the acceleration of immorality is just unbelievable. It's like some, you know, Satan put his foot on the gas pedal and just pushed it to the floor. And this country is just careening into darkness. And I'm like, holy cow, how can that happen when we have so many people who claim to be Christians in this country? It's impossible. When, and you know, things like that they're the kind of thing that turns my hair gray. I mean, I can't understand. You know, it's like when people say, "I will not believe in your God." What makes your God different from any other God? You know, all gods are the same. I can just feel my hair turning gray, you know? And you're like, you know, I want to tell you a truth. Not because I dislike this religion or I dislike that religion and I think we're so much better. It's a truth that comes from God's word. And if you believe this truth, then you have an opportunity to have joy unspeakable for the rest of your life and for eternity. And people say, "I don't want to hear it." And, you know, my mind is like, why is it that people don't accept this? It's easy. It's so easy. But they won't. And that's the thing that's troublesome. So we need to understand, where do we stand and how do we know where we stand? Well, when the Lord talks about this, if you go back to verse 2 of this chapter, he says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Now, this doesn't sound like it's getting any better. So, you know, the branch that bears not fruit, he taketh away. Now, we can kind of understand that, right? So you take if you've been involved in anything in your garden at all, you know if you cut something off of a fruit tree, a branch off of a fruit tree, you can hold that branch for a year. It's never going to make an apple. So it will wither, the leaves will turn brown, and it'll eventually become very brittle and it'll snap. And he says, you know, that's where men gather them and throw them in the fire, because the only thing they're good for is to burn them so that you can at least get some heat from them, right? So, you know, when we read this, it says, if you don't bear fruit, you're taken away. Well, okay. So there's a couple of issues here. You know, if we look at a church in general, and I'm not going to say this church necessarily, but a church in general, the church is going to be like a tree or a bush or whatever you want to call it. It's a living organism. If you look at any fruit-bearing tree, bush, or whatever, you will always find branches that are fruitful, and you will find branches that, you know, some may just have leaves and some may just be brown and they're not doing anything. And that's exactly what the Lord is talking about here. We're talking about a church. He's talking about a gathering of people who say that they're Christ followers. And there are going to be branches right here in a church that are branches with leaves, but they never bear any fruit. There are branches that are withered and they're brown, but they come here every week. And I don't want to say that like I'm talking about anybody in particular here. But, you know, we have to understand that the church is not effective today. And why is the church not effective? Because the church is a branch that does not abide in the vine. So a church should be able to flourish if the vine is the one that is providing for the church. We have so many blessings that have come upon us in this church alone that we know that they had to have come from the Lord. And that's a great thing. But you see, you can't live in the past. You have to continue forth. The church has to be able to continue to do the things that God wants it to do, or it will die. And it will no longer abide in Christ. Christ has to be the central figure of a church, or else it's no good. So how many churches have you attended where you don't hear the name of Christ mentioned anywhere in there? They'll talk about God, they'll talk about Lord, But do they talk about Jesus Christ? If they don't talk about Jesus Christ, there's a problem with that church. Because if you were following God's word, Jesus would be all through it. And you can't preach without mentioning Jesus Christ somewhere in there. Now, there was a survey, and I looked for this information on our illustrious internet, and the most recent information that I could find was from August of 21, and that's probably because of COVID. It was impossible to get a good survey with the lockdowns and all that stuff. But this survey was done by the Barna Group, who does a lot of surveys, through the Arizona Christian University. And they said 2/3 of American adults adopt the label of Christian to identify their faith. It's like 70%, right? But this broad adoption of the label may reflect little deep spiritual commitment to foundational biblical teachings and understanding of what it means to be a Christ follower. And that's what Christ is talking about here. A lot of people came and followed Christ everywhere he went. But look at the apostles. Judas, he's one of the 12. Everywhere that Christ went, he went with him. He saw all the things that Christ did. And what happens? He sells him for silver to the high priest. It's like mind-boggling. How many people in churches today are caught up in the things of the world and they sell Christ out because they want to make that extra paycheck on Sunday morning? Or, you know, open their business so they can get a couple extra people coming through so that they can make a little more money. How many people name the name of Christian but aren't really a Christian? That's what Christ is saying here in this section of Scripture. So he continues and he says, according to the latest report from the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University, 69% of U.S. adults self-identify as Christian. I really hate that term, self-identify. But, I mean, that's what they're saying, right? They claim to be a Christian. Yet a closer look at this large swath of the American population reveals their professed Christian faith is built on disturbingly shaky theological foundations. For example, the study found that although self-identified Christians in the study embrace many basic tenets of the faith, and I don't know how this even makes any sense, at the same time, they hold many views in conflict with traditional teaching. Among these, believing that people are basically good, rejecting the existence of objective truth rooted in Scripture, and many don't even acknowledge Jesus Christ as Savior among their theological beliefs. How can you be a Christian and not acknowledge Jesus Christ? Then who are you a follower of? Christian is a follower of Christ. So it blows my mind. They also look more to feelings, experiences, and family and friends than the Bible for moral guidance. A full 58% contend the Holy Spirit is not real. Not a real living being, and 57% embrace the concept of karma. Only 9% of this population of self-identified Christians actually possess a biblical worldview. So he goes on, and it gets so bad. He says, despite 69% claiming the faith, in reality, only a tiny minority of American adults, 6%, possess a biblical worldview and demonstrate a consistent understanding and application of biblical principles. So when you look at this, you know, and then, you know, you look at things that are happening in the world, or I'm sorry, in this country. I don't claim to know everything that's going on in the world, but you look at the things that are happening in this country, and you're like, how is it possible that people could want to, you know, move in this direction when so many are Christians? And you know, when you say 69% of an adult population in this country would be like over 130, 150 million people. If we have 150 million people in this country that are Christians, actual Christians, there should be a huge impact on what's going on in this country. But there's not. Because the fact is that in this survey over a year ago, it was only 6% that actually hold a biblical worldview. 6% is pretty pathetic out of 69% of the people that claim to be Christian. So, you know, we're in deep hurt in this country. And that's going to be problematic going forward. Not a surprise, because it's not like the Bible tells us about how, you know, there's going to be this tremendous revival at the last day, all these people are going to get saved, and then the Lord's going to come back and there's going to be this great party, right? No, he's going to come back to the shame of the church because the church has walked away. So, you know, we can see it happening today. The people that are going to church, they're going to the church for what? They're going to the church because they want to be entertained. They're going to the church because they want to hear itching, their ears itch. They want to have, tell us smooth things, right? So they want to only have the things that make them feel good. But if you read the Bible, 80% of this Bible is not making you feel good. 80% of this Bible tells you what you are. And that's because we are not good. So, you know, if you want feel good, this is the wrong place to be. So, you know, but you have to understand what you are in order to know what Christ did for you. Why do you need a God if you think, you know, the majority of people are good people? Well, Christ didn't die for good people. He came for the sick. We're all sick. We're sick people. And he came so that he would save the sick. He was the great physician, right? All right. Oh, now I'm in the wrong place. Okay. So, all right. So, you know, when you read what Christ says, he says, true believers who believe that the word of God is true, that they truly do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ came and died for their sins, and that he's the only way to get to heaven. True believers show forth much fruit. That's what Christ says. So, all right. If we're not being fruitful, then we have to kind of look at what it is that we believe. Why do we believe what we believe? And where are we actually spending all of our time? So, do we spend our time telling others about the love of Christ? I just put three questions here. Do we live a life that's honoring unto the Lord? Do we do what God has commanded us to do in his word? If we can't answer yes to that, then we're having some issues with our walk. And see, the thing is that we don't say these things so that we feel bad and we try to motivate people to do things that they don't want to do. We say these things because Christ is saying, if you abide in me, then you can do great things. You're going to bear much fruit. And what is that much fruit? Well, obviously there's a spiritual aspect to that, right? So we understand that through the Holy Spirit that the believer can bear fruit, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all of those things. Those are fruit of the Spirit that indwells us. But it goes beyond that, because when we can bear much fruit, what that means, you know, when you drive by an orchard and you see, you know, it's in the fall and you see the peaches on the tree, ripe peaches on the tree, ripe apples on the tree, ripe plums on the tree, you know, there's something about that, It's a provision that, you know, God has done this, and, you know, that seed that was planted that became a tree that now has all these branches coming off of it, one tree will bear bushels and bushels of apples and peaches and plums and all pears and whatever, right? So it bears much fruit. But, you know, if we're like an unsaved person and we're the Christian who bears much fruit, it's like when you look at that tree and you say, I wanna get a bushel of peaches today, you're like excited because you see the fruit that's on that tree. When you're a Christian that's walking with the Lord, the world sees you as a fruitful tree. They see you and they say, wow, this person, they're not like that dead tree over there that's all brown and withered and good for nothing but to be cut down and burned. There's something about them that is totally different. Or like when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem and he came and he saw the fig tree and it just had leaves and there was no fruit on it. He cursed it, like, you know, and it died, right? What was the purpose of that? Because it needs to be fruitful. So, you know, people will look at your walk and they will say, I want that. I want to be able to bear great fruit. I want people to look at me and say, there's something special about me, right? And you know, not because you're something great, because you have something great inside of you. You have something great working through you. The thing that is supplying everything that you need in order to bear that fruit is the vine. It's Jesus Christ. And the best opportunity that we have in order to have people talk to us and be able to share Jesus Christ is to be that fruit-bearing tree or bush or whatever that might be. One of the things that Christ knows that, you know, when you are a follower of Christ, that you can be a tremendous witness for him if you are bearing much fruit. You show forth that love. You show forth that gentleness. You show forth that goodness. You show forth that kindness, that faith. You know, all those things that he talks about in the book of Galatians, you should be able to be a testimony of God and say, I can only do this because of the one who supplies all of this within me. And not only supplies it, but he supplies it abundantly so that I can't keep it in. It has to come forth. It has to come out of me, right? So it comes out of you, and those that are near you should be blessed by it. It should be like a river of living water that rushes out of you and gets everybody wet, you know, and they're like, wow, you know, what is that? You know, and washes them clean, right? You're not the one that washes them clean, but the one that's inside of you is the one that washes them clean, and they need to know that. So this is what the Lord is trying to talk about. We're talking about people that when they claim to be Christians, we just need to know. You know, we won't know. People have been in the church for decades, centuries even, learning the terminology, right? They know where all the books of the Bible are. Then, you know, when the pastor says, turn with me here, they go there, you know. And people, they seem like perfectly good Christians. But, you know, the Lord knows the heart. And one day when he comes back and he claims his own, there will be some who will not be claimed. And when he talks about the branches that will be gathered and cast forth, there will be some that we thought were going to be with us in heaven that will not be there. And it's not for us to know necessarily, but as we stand up here week after week after week and we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody out there hears it. I don't care if you're sitting in this pew or if you're on the internet, but you hear it. And if you accept it, you're going to be in heaven one day. But there'll be a time when the Lord will sift the sheep and the goats and say, the sheep are going to be with me and the goats are going to be cast off. Do you want to be the goat? And I tell you, the world is really making the goat sound pretty good, isn't it? So, you know, how many, you know, the Jeep commercials, right? And in the Olympics, right? I can't remember her name now. The girl that didn't even compete in gymnastics. She was supposed to be the best gymnast of all time. The greatest of all time. Goat. And she didn't even compete. So, you know, now what are we really making? What are we making goats to be, right? The sheep. The Lord came here as a lamb to be sacrificed for this world. The lamb is not the greatest animal in the world. But that lamb, you know, even the small lamb can have great value because, you know, it still has the wool and, you know, obviously in a lot of countries, lamb are eaten. And I know some of you lovers of animals don't like to hear that. But, you know, they do make lamb chops and things like that out of them. And that's a, you know, they're useful. But, you know, the goat can be kind of a problem sometimes. And, you know, we need to be careful. Are we going to follow the lamb and be in the image of God's son? Or are we going to follow the goat and be in the image of the world? That's really where we need to look at ourselves. So those branches that are no longer in the vine wither, they die. But think of it. You know, when he continues in verse 2 that we read, and he purged every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now that don't sound so good either. So, well, gee, I'm being fruitful. What do you mean you're going to purge it? You know, well, you know, if you know anything about fruit trees, fruit trees have to be pruned. You have to cut the branches back. And what'll happen is those little straggly branches that you cut back, the next year, they will become stronger branches. And they'll be able to bear fruit now. That little branch, if it even bore a little fruit, it would just bend and snap. So it's no good. But what happens is if you can cut some of those little saplings off, it provides the nutrients to all the other branches in the tree. And then you end up with really good fruit, right? So what does that tell us? If we use that as an example, you have people claiming to be Christians, and what are they doing? They're sapping the energy of the church by saying, you know, I'm a Christian, but they don't do anything. So what happens? You have a church with 100 people in it, and what do you have? You have 15 that are active in the church doing everything for the Lord, and the others, 85, are I almost said 75. Well, what did you do with the other 10? But okay. But, you know, the other 85 just show up, warm up the pew, and go home. But, you know, that's what the Lord wants to get rid of. He wants the church to be strong. He wants the branches to grow thicker, to be fruitful, to be able to bear that fruit. And it'll be good fruit, right? Much fruit. It's not the withered fruit, the stuff that starts to grow and then it just dies on the branch and nobody wants to touch it. He wants us to bear much fruit. So we need to be able to allow the Lord to purge us, because we're not perfect, right? He's doing a perfect work in us, but he's getting rid of all those things that are not useful. They're things that are good for nothing, so they're to be cast off, right? So what he's going to do is he's going to prune us down until the only thing left is that which is good for his use. And then that is the thing that becomes strong. It's the thing that is able to do the things that the Lord wants, because it's tied directly to the vine and it's supplying all the nutrients that we need in order to do what we need. We are not strong people in ourselves. You know, people are getting sick. They're catching the flu, the pneumonia, and little bugs are coming upon us, and we're collapsing. We're sick. We can't even get to church, right? And you know, we're frail. We are frail people, but you know, we can do a lot of things through the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that mean you won't ever get sick? No. Does that mean you won't break a leg? No. Does that mean that you'll never get cancer? No. But you have to understand, our strength comes through Christ. And when he's working through us, then the things that we can do for him, whether it's just praying for somebody, calling somebody on the phone, writing letters, or you're actually out on the corner evangelizing, or going into nursing homes, or going to other churches and talking to people, or going to the store and just, you know, wishing people a Merry Christmas and telling them about the Lord. You know, doesn't matter what the activity is that you're doing. If you're doing it for the Lord, and with the Lord being the center of it, it's going to be fruitful. It will be bearing much fruit. Not just fruitful, that's the part that he's just going to, you know, prune off, but he wants you to be a really fruitful tree. Let's be a fruitful tree for the Lord. All right. Now, well, I did a lot of talking here, but let's go over to the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 4. With all of this in mind, Mark chapter 4, we see this parable that Christ speaks of, right? And this is the parable of the seeds, right? So Mark chapter 4, verses 14 down, I think we're just going to go down to 20. 14 to 20. He says, "The sower soweth the word." So right there, we understand. You know, he went through talking about, you know, how the seed falls on the stony ground under the thorns and on good soil and things like that, right? And then he starts to explain it because his disciples didn't understand, right? So he's explaining it. The sower soweth the word. The one who is casting forth the seed sows the word. That's the basic, right? When we said true or false, do you believe this word to be true or not? What are you sowing when you go out into the world? Are you sowing man's truth or are you sowing God's truth? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. There are people that you will talk to, and they'll be excited, they'll be happy. Oh, thank you for sharing that with me. And then what happens? And they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And those are the people who, they start to come to church, you start to form a relationship with them, and then something happens in their life, or something happens, somebody says something to them, and they don't like it, and then they're gone. They don't come to church anymore. And, you know, these are the people that talk about Christians as being hypocrites. You know, we're supposed to be loving. We're supposed to show forth goodness. Where's our meekness? You know, why did you say that nasty thing? Well, you know what? There's also a forgiveness in there and, you know, long suffering. So where did that come? Where did that go away, you know? Verse 18, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bringeth forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100." So, you know, what does that tell me? It doesn't matter if you're a fruitful tree that brings forth two peaches. Two peaches for Christ is a good thing. Better than a tree that brings forth no fruit. But you could be a tree that brings forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And all of that is through Christ working in you. So, you know, we just have to look at things and say, all right, what do I want to be? Do I want to be fruitful? If I want to be fruitful, how do I get fruitful? I get fruitful by staying in the Word, by allowing Christ to abide in me, and I have to abide in Him. Well, what does that mean? Yeah, it's easy for Christ to abide in me because if I keep His commandments, He will come and He will abide in me. Whether we look at it as Christ in me, the Holy Spirit in me, God the Father in me, God says that He will indwell us when we become Christians. But to abide in Christ, that means that we make Him our focus. We make Him the priority. We say, I'm going to do the things first in my life that are pleasing unto Him. And then everything else comes after that. Now, do you have a job? Yes. But you know what? You do your job the best you can do it because it pleases God that you're going to do the things to the best of your ability by the abilities He has given you. Are you a student? Yes. Then do your studies to the best of your ability because Christ is enabling you to be able to do that. You know, there are a lot of things that, you know, we can do. You know, he didn't say, oh, you got to be really good at math, you got to be really good at science, you got to be really good in physics. You know, some of you are only good in math. Some of you are only good in science. Some of you might be good in social studies, history, you know, whatever you want to call that anymore. But, you know, that's okay because the talents that God gives us, He gave us for a reason. They're to be used for Him. And, you know, that's really, I guess, the focus of this today. Let the Lord abide in you and let Him have His perfect work in you. And then you can do whatever the Lord leads you to do, and it'll be fruitful. It will not only be fruitful, but it will bear much fruit. So be the one to not only bear a peach. I love peaches. That's why I keep using that. But you're not going to bear that peach, but you're going to bear that peach, you know. I love that peach. That's the idea. Be a fruitful Christian and be a real Christian, not a Christian in name only, okay? We know the Christmas and the Easter Christians, right? We don't want to be that kind of Christian. We want to be committed to God. Whatever we can do when we can come to church, we're going to come to church. All right. We'll close in prayer.